As we mentioned, Pastor Tree will be giving us a sermon this morning coming from 1 Samuel. And so I would ask you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel. We will be reading two passages this morning. Now, the first is found in 1 Samuel chapter 20, starting at verse 12, after which we will turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9. So 1 Samuel chapter 20, starting in verse 12. And Jonathan said to David, "The Lord, the God of Israel, be witness. When I have sounded out my father about this time tomorrow, or the third day, behold, if he is well disposed toward David, shall I not then send and disclose it to you? But should it please my father to do you harm, the Lord do so to Jonathan and more also if I do not disclose it to you, and send you away that you might go in safety. May the Lord be with you, as he has been with my father. If I am still alive, show me the steadfast love of the Lord, that I may not die, and do not cut off your steadfast love from my house forever, when the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth." And Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May the Lord take vengeance on David's enemies." And Jonathan made David swear again by his love for him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. And now turning to 2 Samuel chapter 9, starting at verse 1. And David said, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "I am your servant." And the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him?" Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet." The king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "He is in the house of Maker, the son of Amed, at Lodabar." Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, at Lodabar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold, I am your servant." And David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always." And he paid homage and said, "What is your servant that you should show him regard for a dead dog such as I?" Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "All that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. And you and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him, and shall bring in the produce that your master's grandson may have bread to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so will your servant do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who lived in Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servant. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate always at the king's table. Now he was lame in both his feet.
I bring you greetings from Madison Chinese Christian Church. Madison Chinese Christian Church is a small church plant in Madison, and everything we do is in Mandarin Chinese. And just for your information, PCA has 9 different Chinese congregations under the PCA spread at different parts of the country. And Madison Chinese Christian Church joined the PCA early this year. and was accepted as a church plant. Everything we do in Mandarin, so I don't get to preach in English quite often. Probably every couple of years I get the opportunity to preach in English, so I hope you will bear with my little slight Chinese accent. Pastor Jim was gracious enough to guest preach at our congregation a couple of months ago. At the time, he invited me to preach here during the Thanksgiving Sunday while he's away. So I gladly accepted. I'm so glad to be able to hear and enjoy fellowship with y'all. And before we get into today's passage, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, before your word, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to us through your text. And Father, we pray that as we lift up your Son, we pray that you use your word to edify your sheep and that your sheep will be fed. And Father, we get into your word, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would illuminate our hearts. And we pray that all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as you know, we're in the holiday, we're in the Thanksgiving season. And this is a time when families gather together and friends get together. And we have a lot of meals together. We have table fellowship. So it's a time of comfort, a time of support. And many of your best memories was probably around this time when your family gathered together. Now, In the passage we read in 2 Samuel chapter 9, we read about a man named Mephibosheth, and he was given a seat at the king's table. And if you read this passage, it's a very heartwarming passage. But more than that, it's a passage that foretells us about the work of Christ. In Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 45, Jesus told the disciples, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Now, if you know about the Hebrew Bible, when Jesus says the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, he's talking about the entire Old Testament. Of course, back then they didn't have the New Testament then. The Hebrew Bible is organized slightly different from the way we organized. They have the law of Moses and Jesus says and the prophets. Well, the prophets include the historical books, which they call the former prophets, and the prophetic books that we call the prophets. And then he says the Psalms. Well, the Psalm is the largest book in the wisdom literature. So when Jesus says that the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, he's talking about the entire Old Testament. He says everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. In other words, Jesus says that he's the center of the theme of the entire Old Testament. That's what he's teaching. And we could not understand the Old Testament until we use Christ as the key, the person and work of Jesus Christ as a key to understand the Old Testament. So in this passage, tell us about the work of Christ. Now, you may look at the passage, you may read a couple of times. He says there's no mention of Christ in this passage. How does this passage point to Christ? Well, in many different ways. One thing you have to understand, that King David is a type of Christ, a type of Christ. So what is a type? A type is an Old Testament institution or person or even an office that points to the work of Christ. I try to explain to the younger generation what a type is. I use the analogy as it's sort of like a movie trailer. You know, they show the trailer before the real movie shows up on the scene. You know, like the Star Wars movie that's going to come on middle of December. You already start seeing moving trailers. So there are events in the Old Testament. There are figures or even persons in the Old Testament that points to the work of Christ. Now, before we do that, let's get into the look at the text. Let's get into the story of Mephibosheth. In 2 Samuel 9:1, we read that King David asked, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now, if you read about the life of David, you know, at this point in David's life, he's quite secure as a king. His days of fleeing from Saul is long over. That was about 15 to 20 years ago by this point. So David is sitting secure and the in his kingship, and this time he start remembers his friend Jonathan, and he want to do something for Jonathan, and he remembered the covenant that he has made with Jonathan. So one of Saul's servants, when David asked this question, Ziba reported, "There's still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet." The king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "He is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, at Lodabar." Then the king David sent and brought him from the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, at Lodabar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David says, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold, I am your servant." Now David summons Mephibosheth and bring him to the palace. Now you have to understand, in ancient times, being a descendant of a deceased or deposed king is a very dangerous position. Because if you read the Old Testament, one of the things that the new king does is kill off all the descendants of the old king, because those descendants can have a claim to the throne. So even whether it's a son of the descendant or even a son-in-law of the deposed king is in danger. So David, when David summoned Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth's kind of probably very worried. So now in this case, it's even still more unique in that Saul tried to kill David several times. So not only Saul was a deposed king, a former king, but he had tried to kill David several times. So when Mephibosheth gets summoned to David's court, he's probably worrying whether that day is going to be his last day. After all, everybody knows that Saul tried to kill David several times. But look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, "But David said to him, 'Do not fear, do not fear, for I will show you kindness of this, for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore you to all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always.'" So to Mephibosheth's surprise, David didn't announce his execution. But David did something that's very surprising. He gave him back all his grandfather's properties. Not only that, but David also gave him a seat at the king's table. Now, given a seat at the king's table is quite an honor. Modern-day equivalent would be like if you were invited to dine with the Trumps in the White House. That would be something like that. But not only that, but David says, "You shall eat at my table always." Not just once, not once in a while, but always. So it's quite a privilege to be in such an honored position. So what is Mephibosheth's response? Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, "Mephibosheth paid homage and said, 'What is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I?'" So how does he refer to himself? He says he's a dead dog. He knows that there's nothing that he can do or have done that deserve this kind of treatment. As Saul's grandson, the treatment he would expect to get is a death sentence from King David. But David not only made this promise, a decree, but he also immediately tried to implement it. So David summoned one of Saul's servants named Ziba, announced to Ziba his decision about Saul's property and also about Mephibosheth. So in verse 9, "Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, 'All that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. And you and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him and shall bring him produce. that your master's grandson may have bread to eat, but Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so will your servant do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of king's sons. Now, this guy, Ziba, he's called Saul's servant. But, in reality, he's probably like a property manager. And, from the text, it seems like Saul had a lot of property because it took a lot of people to take care of the property. Verse 10 says Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. So that means the property that David gave to Mephibosheth that used to belong to Saul is quite significant. And moreover, since David pronounced that, we know that Ziba is going to faithfully serve Mephibosheth for the rest of his life. Because it's very important to take good care of the king's honor guest, especially when the honor guest dines with the king regularly at the table. So David gave back all the properties and that used to belong to Saul and gave it to Mephibosheth, and also make sure that he had people that take care of the land and to bring the food to him. But Mephibosheth himself is going to sit with David. But David's kindness to Mephibosheth didn't just end with him. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, "And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who lived in Ziba's house become Mephibosheth's servants. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate always at the king's table." Now that he's lame in both his feet. Now, the fact that the text will mention that the Mephibosheth had a young son, his name is Micah, is very important. It means that David's kindness to Mephibosheth not only extends to him, but also it descends to his descendant as well. So that's great kindness indeed. Now we have to ask the question, why did David show this kind of kindness to Mephibosheth? Is it because Mephibosheth can do something for David? Could he be like one of David's generals? No. No, he cannot. If you read the text in two places, in verse 3 and verse 13, which is at the beginning and the end of this account, that Mephibosheth is mentioned as being lame in both his feet. Now you have to know about Hebrew narratives. The Hebrew narrative seldom describe the physical characteristics of a person. Now, when the Hebrew narrative specifically mentioned about physical feature like that, that means it's very important. So the writer emphasized that Mephibosheth is lame. In other words, he's a helpless man. You have to understand, those times we don't have doctors that can put high-tech prosthetics on you. You know, there's a guy that has carbon fiber blades that can outrun other people. I think it was in South Africa. Those days, if a person has this kind of handicap, they're looked down upon. They're discriminated against in society. So there's nothing that Mephibosheth can do for King David. There's no way that he can pay back David for his kindness. Did David treat Mephibosheth with kindness because Mephibosheth did something good for David in the past? Sort of like a quid pro quo? No. The text mentions very clear that the reason David treated him with kindness is for Jonathan's sake. It is for Jonathan's sake. Verse 1 says, "Is there still anyone left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now the word kindness is very important. We read about that in the Old Testament, the word kindness. The word kindness is something that's lost in the translation of the Bible. The Hebrew word for kindness is hesed. And the root meaning of that word is covenant faithfulness. It's covenant devotion. It's covenant love. That's what that word kindness means. So in verse 3, David says, is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him? David want to show kindness to Mephibosheth because the kindness that he has received from God. So the reason that David shows kindness to Mephibosheth is because of Jonathan. It's because the covenant he made with Jonathan. Now we read that in the other passage we read this morning, which is in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 14 to 17. Now we read about that. If I'm still alive, Jonathan says, if I'm still alive, show me the steadfast love of the Lord that I may not die. Jonathan made David promise that once the God has made him king and all his enemies had been killed off, David will spare his life. David will spare his life because back then the new king always killed off the descendants of the previous king just so make sure there's no chance of a revolt or any challenge to the throne. So Jonathan says, if I'm still alive, show me the steadfast love of the Lord that I may not die. And do not cut off your steadfast love from my house forever when the Lord cuts off every one of your enemies of David from the face of the earth. And Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, may the Lord take vengeance on David's enemies. And Jonathan made David swear again by his love for him, and he loved him as he loved his own soul. So Jonathan made a covenant with David that David would spare his life when God has cut off all the enemies of David and made him king. And not only that, but if Jonathan is no longer alive, that David will not cut off his steadfast love for my house forever when the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David. So the covenant not only extends to Jonathan, that his life would be spared, but that David's household would show kindness to the descendants of Jonathan. So this is the story of David and Mephibosheth. Now the big question is, what does that have to do with Christ? What does that have to do with us? Actually, this passage tells us a lot about the salvation we have in Christ. First thing you have to notice is that Mephibosheth is a descendant of David's enemy. He's a descendant of David's enemy. He's a descendant of Saul, and Saul tried to take out, kill David several times. So according to the custom of the time, the culture of the time, Mephibosheth is destined to die, to be killed by the new king. But instead, David showed kindness to him. This is totally opposite of what he expected from David. Now likewise, we are all Adam's descendants. Adam rebelled against a loving, a kind God who provided everything that he needed. And we're his descendants. So as descendants of Adam, we're all guilty before God because Adam's guilt imputed to us because Adam is our covenant representative. So we are not only guilty because we're descendants of Adam, but we are sinners by choice also. What we deserve is to be wiped out by God. What we got is the grace that God has extended to us because of Christ. Because of Christ. God has shown kindness to us because of Christ. Now the reason God showed kindness to us is not because we have done anything for God. The maker of heaven and earth doesn't need us. There's nothing that we can do for God. God does not need our help. So the reason God extends his kindness to us is because of Christ. Now, the Bible says Mephibosheth is lame in both of his feet. So to King David, he's useless to King David. What can he provide for King David? David is king, and he can have whatever he wanted. There's nothing that Mephibosheth can do for him. So just like Mephibosheth is lame both of his feet, in the same way that because Adam and Eve sinned, that we are crippled by sin. Even when we've done everything that we're supposed to do, we're still worthless servants to God. So we if you've been walking with the Lord for a while, you know that we messed up quite often. We mess up a lot. Anything that good that we do, that God has to do it through his Spirit in us. In us. So this is God's grace to us. God has shown kindness to us. David shows kindness to Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake. It's not because anything that Mephibosheth did anything to David. Now, the reason that God is showing kindness to us, because we are in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. He has shown us the kindness through the covenant he made with his blood. And because our covenant representative lived a perfect life for us, that God has imputed his righteousness to us, that because our covenant representative Christ has died for our sins, and that's the reason God extends his grace, his kindness to us, not because something that we have done, but because of something that Christ has done. Mephibosheth received kindness from David. It's not something because something he did. It's because Jonathan made a covenant. Jonathan made a covenant with David. Because for Jonathan's sake that he's treated with kindness. So this is very important. When we have failed God, that we know that God accepts us, not because of something that we have done, but God accepts us only because of his Son. And God gave us a seat at his table. God gives us a seat at his table. Luke 29, chapter 22, verse 29. Jesus said to the disciples, Jesus says, I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now Jesus told the disciples, I assign to you a kingdom. Now the word assign really doesn't reflect the word used in the Greek. The word used in Greek is actually covenanted. So what Jesus is saying is that I covenanted a kingdom to you. I've given you a kingdom through a covenant in my blood. And I covenant you a kingdom just as the Father has covenanted a kingdom with me. So this is the reason we have a seat at the king's table, that we can sit with Christ, because Christ has covenanted a table. A kingdom to us. He earned it. He earned it by his obedience, and God gave him, according to the term of the covenant between the Father and the Son, gave him a kingdom. He turns around and make a covenant with us. So those who have received Christ were his covenant and received the benefit of the covenant. Now verse 11 in 2 Samuel 9 says, so Mephibosheth ate at the David's table like one of the king's sons. He ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. What we have in Christ is a whole lot better. Mephibosheth ate like one of king's sons. We're not just like one of king's sons. We are God's children. We are God's children. We are God's children by adoption. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5 says, God predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. So we're not like one of God's sons. We are God's children because of adoption. And not only that, but when we adopt someone, they have the legal status of our children. But when God adopts us, it's different. He imparts His life in us. He imparts His life in us. This is something that we cannot do in our human adoption. But God, through His Spirit, imparts His life in us. John chapter 3, verse 6 says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So God imparts His life in us when we are regenerated through the work of the Holy Spirit. So this is the different than regular adoption. God has given us His life. And one day when Christ returns, God is going to make us just like His Son. And we will be able to reflect all of God's glory. All of God's glory. But we have received in Christ is what far better than what Mephibosheth received from David because of Jonathan. You have to understand that the covenant that David has made with Jonathan is as good as when David sits on the throne. Now, what happens when the next guy come along, like Solomon? Now the connection is no longer there. After David passes away, Solomon sits at the throne, and Solomon says, "Jonathan, I didn't make a covenant with Jonathan." So Mephibosheth and his descendants are secure when David sits on the throne. But what about us? What about us? What about our covenant representative? Our Lord Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. Forever. So our position is secure forever. God's kindness to us is secure forever because our representative, our Lord Jesus Christ, sits at the Father's side forever. So David extends the kindness to Jonathan's descendants. David extends kindness not just to Mephibosheth, but the fact that his son Micah, as I mentioned in this passage, is important. Now, in the same way, God extends His loving kindness to us. Not only us, to our children as well. I came to Christ as an adult. I was studying for my PhD at the degree in engineering at the time. Some of you didn't grow up in Christian homes. I'm one of those. I didn't have the benefit of growing up in the church and to hear about Christ and be taught God's word. But our children are different. They're under the covenant. They get the opportunity to grow up in the church, to learn about God's word, to hear about Christ, to understand salvation. And some of you grew up in Christian home. You know that it's different. It's different. And this is because of the kindness that God extends to us through our representative, Jesus Christ, our head. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come before You, Father, we want to give thanks to You. But You're the gracious Lord. You love us not because we're worthy of Your love. You love us not because we can do something for You, as if the Creator of the heaven and the earth needed anything from the creatures. You love us because of Your Son, because He came in the flesh, because of His obedience, because He lived a perfect life, which You demanded from us, which we cannot do, and because He did all of those things, that we who are in Christ can receive all these benefits. We're no longer an object of Your wrath. We're no longer children of wrath, but we are children of the living God. And we thank You for the life that You have given us, to us through Your Son, and through the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank You that although we live in this fallen world, that we have the hope that is in Christ Jesus. That You have renewed us through the new life that we have received in Christ. And we know that one day you're going to renew the entire creation. And we're going to inherit it as Your children. And all this is because of Christ. And we pray all of this in His name. Amen.